people come to us because usually they're stuck in some shape or form in terms of where they are, in terms of their growth, in terms of wanting to grow to the next level. Sometimes people come to us because they want to acquire or merge with another company, don't know how to do it, or don't know how to get the funding. And so that's where we get involved.
Hi there, I'm Cynthia Dearen, and welcome to Business Beyond Borders. On this show, I unlock the secrets of international business success. So how do you grow your business at home or overseas when you don't have the money to invest, you don't have the contacts, and you don't really have the knowledge about how to do it? It's a big question. Today we're going to tackle part of it, and I'm going to be talking to Brian Santos, an investment banker with A Difference. Brian helps businesses to grow at home and abroad, and he does it by taking a holistic approach to solving the challenges faced by international companies. We're going to be chatting about how to grow your company, even when it seems as though you don't have the resources to do so. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, today we are talking about strategic investment, and in particular, strategic investment for companies that are looking at going global. But before we get there, let's talk a bit about you. What got you into the field of strategic investment, and how long have you been helping people to find investment for their projects?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's kind of been a natural progression for me in terms of how I got into what I'm doing at the moment. I mean, my whole career has been based around helping businesses grow. I love doing it, and I've always been entrepreneurial and creative in terms of finding solutions to problems of business owners. And the thing is, so often we're taught about what to think from our schooling, even when we go to business school, and even when we go into employment in our own businesses. But we're usually not taught about how to think and how to even question some of the things that we've been taught, or how they've been kind of made for us to think a certain way. And strategic investment has kind of been, I guess, like I said, like a natural progression for me in terms of how I think and how I've been helping businesses along the way. I remember reading like a crazed man in terms of finding, you know, people who would think like me and in the entrepreneurial world who would find solutions to problems that kind of weren't the norm. And it led me to a guy called Gordon Bazar, who ended up mentoring me, and I did some of his programs, and he's been a wonderful ally and friend and colleague of mine, and he's actually the founder and CEO of National Diversified Funding Corporation, and we've been working together properly for at least 5+ years now, and so in terms of, I guess, what we do, it's kind of been a progression from how we originally started in just helping businesses generally speaking. Yeah.
Just tell me a bit about NDFC, National Diversified Funding Corporation. Is it an Australian company?
Sure.
Because I know it's multinational. And what does it do exactly?
Yeah, great question. So National Diversified Funding Corporation, like I said, is founded and headed by Gordon Bazar, who created this business, or had this business since the late 60s. And our specialty, what we do, is basically help businesses grow. And mainly we do it by mergers and acquisitions advisory. We help to raise capital and I guess match business owners with the right solutions. And whether it be funding, whether it be debt, whether it be equity, or whether it be, like I said, advisory-based work that we do, that's kind of in a nutshell what we do. So it's not like an easy thing to explain, because each business has their own situations. But essentially what we do is we help businesses grow, mainly through capital raising and mergers and acquisitions.
So there are a lot of people out there in that capital raising space, in that investor matching space.
Yes.
And lots of people will tell you different things about it, but there are some general trends, I guess you'd call them, in the way that people go about that work.
Yeah.
Can you give us an idea of what that looks like, and also how what you do is different from that generic investor matching piece?
Yeah. So you're right. There is a lot of people out there in terms of who are involved in the investment world. You've got a lot of people who are, you know, who range from the angel investors and venture capital firms to private equity firms. And you've got some guys who are like us involved in investment banking. We're essentially the matchmakers to a degree, the brokers in the middlemen and women who kind of make the deals happen. And in terms of what we do that's different is, I guess when you say investor matching, the first thing that kind of pops into my head is that we're already assuming that a business needs an investor to solve a certain problem. And when you go to, you know, a private equity firm or someone who already has the funding capabilities, you're already going to them and saying, I need your help. It's almost like going to a doctor and you've had a cough for 2 or 3 weeks and you say, Doc, I need an antibiotic to sort my illness out. And it would be irresponsible and of the doctor to say, yes, you're right, and start prescribing a prescription for the antibiotic without actually doing any examination on you whatsoever. So when you say investor matching, it's kind of the same thing. It's assuming that you know what your solution is. And so the right people, I guess what we do is before we kind of assume that the problem is investment, we take several steps back. Because often what happens is it's not just I need money, or it is often a money situation, but there is usually a underlying cause or causes that are a result of, you know, that result in your current situation. So we work our way back, and sometimes, yes, it is investor money that is needed, or it might be debt that can kind of get you out of your situation. And so we kind of try to examine your situation or understand your situation a lot better to be able to come up with any sort of solution first. And so what we do, I guess, that's really different is that based on your situation, we look at it holistically and kind of see, well, is it a short-term thing? Is it a medium-term thing? Is it a long-term thing? And what's your bigger plan? What's your bigger strategy here? And then we kind of work backwards from there. So we kind of reverse engineer where you're at the moment and what you need, and try and find the solutions that you need. And sometimes, so for example, I know you and I have spoken to a couple of businesses that are wanting to grow overseas, and their questions or their discussions with us, or at least with me, was about, okay, how do I need X amount of millions of dollars to be able to expand overseas. You know, and my conversation or my questions were about, well, why and what do you need it for? And, you know, and we kind of peel back the layers of the onion. And then what we also realize is, yes, they want to expand overseas, but they've also, you know, money isn't necessarily the thing that they need. It's really an entry into, for example, the US market, the right type of people, the right people who have the connections and the money. So that's, you know, that's kind of how we work. We look at it more holistically than here's a solution before we've even examined your situation.
There'll be people, founders and CEOs, who are listening to the show,
yes,
who are going to want to know and who are going to be very interested to know whether you can help them. Can you just give me an example of the kind of projects that you help with? You know, what are the things, what's the range of stuff that you get involved with?
Sure. So the range of things is varied, right, in terms of why people come to us. People come to us because usually they're stuck in some shape or form in terms of where they are, in terms of their growth, in terms of wanting to grow to the next level. Sometimes people come to us because they want to acquire or merge with another company, don't know how to do it, or don't know how to get the funding. And so that's where we get involved. Often we get people who want to expand overseas, or even businesses who want to exit their business but know that it's not worth what they need it to be worth if they were to sell it now. And so what we also get involved in is helping businesses to build their business for a bigger exit. And so if I guess you know, listeners out there, if they're wanting to grow, if they want to grow quickly, or they want to exit, or are looking for, you know, M&A strategic advice and help, then, you know, we can help.
So walk me through that process, kind of step by step of how you go about figuring out whether a company is a match to work with you. You know, from the time that you first meet somebody, what are the mechanics of how you actually arrive at that decision of, okay, we're going to work together?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you're right, not every business is a good fit for us, and we're not a great fit for all businesses. From a higher level, I mean, the types of businesses that we tend to do really well with are obviously those businesses who want to and are ready to deal with us, businesses who aren't kind of contemplating growth, but are actually ready to grow. We find that the businesses who are actually at that point in their lives or in their business cycles are ready to go to the next level. And, you know, that's usually a first criteria is the timing and the current situation that they're in is what we look at. We also look at their industry and our own contacts and our own capabilities, and we kind of have those initial discussions with them. I mean, we first start with a 15-minute chat over the phone, and we kind of introduce ourselves and they introduce themselves, and we get a high-level kind of understanding of where they're at, what they're trying to do. And usually within that time frame, you know, we know whether there'll be some sort of a fit between us and whether or not, you know, it's worthwhile pursuing it further. Then from there, we kind of have a more of a longer strategic chat or call or even face-to-face, depending on where you are. And we kind of nut it out a lot more. And then we kind of come to a decision point as to whether or not we can help and leave them at least, you know, with a plan and direction, even if we can't help them.
Yeah, I was going to say, apart from, you know, this appetite to grow and a readiness to grow, what are some of the other specific things that you're looking for as you review a company?
So usually for us, it's one of our criteria is a revenue size. And it's, you know, our sweet spot is between the $5 to $50 million in revenue. Usually that's, you know, lower middle market is our sweet spot. But in saying that, we've worked with smaller businesses and larger businesses, and in fact I've started to create a program that allows some of the smaller businesses to be involved in growth by mergers and acquisitions as well. So to, you know, in terms of size, we have, I guess, our ideal types of clients, but we also have avenues and options for those who don't. In terms of the industries, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we've worked with a lot of service-based businesses, manufacturing businesses, wholesalers, importers, exporters, you know, electrical infrastructure, businesses who are already overseas and what looking to acquire or expand over into Australasia, we get involved with. So there's no specific criteria of the type of business or the industry of business. It kind of comes down to once we sit down and have a bit of a chat, we'll understand each other and be able to determine that way.
And so once you have worked out that a company is a match to work with you, what are the kinds of things that you can help a company to do so that it can grow faster, or what kind of help do you provide to fill gaps where owners might not have the right skills or experience or contacts?
Yeah, that's actually another good question. So usually as part of my discussions with the owner in the initial discussions, what I'm trying to figure out is where the gaps are, is to figure out where are the gaps in terms of what the business owner is currently doing at the moment, where the gaps are in terms of the opportunities in their market, in their industry, and specifically within their niche. And I'm trying to figure out also where the gaps are in terms of the owner's skill set and capabilities, not just knowledge-wise and skill set-wise, but also time-wise. You know, do they have the right team in place? Do they have the right systems in place to a degree? And it kind of gives me a better picture and understanding of really where the, like I said, the gaps are within their business and within their own capabilities.
If you're enjoying the Business Beyond Borders podcast and you're thinking about expanding your company internationally, check out the Dearen & Associates website, dearenassociates.com. Now, you wear two hats, don't you? So you work with NDFC, but you also do something called Grow by Acquisition. Can you tell me about Grow by Acquisition and particularly what was it that made you decide to create this other program?
Yeah. Well, I've been helping businesses grow. I mean, the first job out of uni was with a business coaching and consulting company, and I've genuinely enjoy helping people and helping businesses grow. And, you know, part of my the things that I've created are online coaching and consulting programs. And as I do capital raising and mergers and acquisitions for the lower middle market of businesses, what I've found was that some of the smaller businesses weren't able to, I guess, afford our services or, you know, be able to spend the time with us to be able to grow their business the way that they can or should. And so I've created a program, which is essentially an online coaching and consulting program that goes through the systems of how to grow your business through mergers and acquisitions, how to find the right businesses, how to negotiate the right business owners, how to assess them quickly, how to find the funding and finance to be able to acquire those, and learn about it, basically how to get your business from where you are to where you need to go from a mergers and acquisitions and capital raising point of view. So I've created that because it allows us to be able to help those who we couldn't help normally. And it's another way that we can scale our services as well.
And we might put a link to that program into the show notes for anybody who wants to find out more about that.
Sure.
Can we talk about some of the companies that you've helped to go global?
Sure.
And how you did it.
Yeah. Well, there's, for example, we're working with a company right now. They're an Australian-based company. They're involved in infrastructure projects in Southeast Asia. So we're talking, you know, the development of roads and bridges and battery plants and solar stuff and farms, which goes over my head in terms of the technical side of things. So this company is Australian based, like I said, and part of our role, or my role over the time, has been to do the introductions with some of our network, with the Indonesian governments. We have direct contact with them, and basically us, you know, helping them to sift through the different projects that we can help them get involved with. Yeah, we've helped them to, you know, in terms of introductions to the right private equity investment, boutique investment banks who specialize in infrastructure projects in Southeast Asia. So they approached us to be able to help them. And so that's what we've been able to do. So an Australian company to do large scale projects in Southeast Asia. There's digital marketing companies that I've worked with, mainly because some of our contacts, both in the US as well as in Europe and UK, there are larger companies that want to acquire and expand in the Asia Pac region. And so a lot of these smaller digital companies, I've been helping to grow or advise or match them with the right types of acquirers who essentially want to grow by acquisition themselves. So, you know, I help those types of companies here in Australia to be able to build their business for an exit or even help them to grow by acquisition. There's another company that we're working with at the moment who's another digital agency that wants to grow overseas in the United States. They already have some presence over there, and but they're looking to grow, I guess, quicker and more intelligently rather than sort of setting up a proper shop up there. That we're actually looking at ways to acquire smaller businesses that'll get us foot in the door with some of those clientele. There's another company which is an FX online company that'd be doing in the tens of millions of dollars in revenue. They approached us to raise capital to acquire another company. It's not too dissimilar to theirs in the Middle East. And we're able to do that. We found the funding. We were able to help them we helped them to structure the right way of acquiring it. There's a ton. There's an IT company it was a management buyout. The management wanted to acquire the company. We had to go overseas because it was a large transaction of in excess of 55 mil that we needed to raise. And a lot of the money that we could access of that sort of caliber was overseas. And so we tapped to our investment bank network and private equity guys overseas and were able to come up with some solutions that way. There's a range. There's a whole range of types of businesses.
Pretty diverse, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is diverse. And so that's kind of why I don't like to assume a certain industry or type of business, because again, we don't know whether there'll be a good match until we start having that conversation, really.
And do you think it's harder to, in general, you mentioned that, you know, to raise large amounts of money, say over $50 million in Australia is difficult. Do you think getting capital in Australia is difficult compared to elsewhere in the world?
That's actually a really good point. It has been. Probably over the last 5 years or so, it's getting better. But, you know, 5-10 years ago, the Australian market was known to be super, super conservative and really behind in terms of funding and finance and all the rest. I mean, even if you think about it, you know, the idea of crowdfunding is relatively new here. And the idea of angel investors and VCs has only really popped up in a more, you know, popular way over the past few years. There's always been VC firms and investor groups and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of its popularity and commonness in the market, it's only been a relatively recent thing. So it is changing, but it is a lot easier to get out, you know, overseas funding, depending obviously on your project, what you're looking to do. Particularly the States, for example, they're a lot more open and understand, you know, the different ways of making deals happen. So, yeah.
And I think in the States, people's attitudes to money are quite different and much less conservative. So every good business person goes bankrupt at least a couple of times in the States, whereas in Australia, if you do it once, that's pretty much the end of you.
That's right. That's right. That's actually a really good point. So that's starting to change. I think the government have started to include some laws that basically gear us to be more entrepreneurial in that sense, so that we, you know, if a business owner does fail, they can actually, you know, try again. But yeah, in terms of funding and finance and the kind of entrepreneurial way of looking at solutions to problems, America is way ahead of us from that point of view. Yeah.
Brian, what would you say to companies who are listening to this episode of the show and thinking, yeah, I wouldn't mind having a go at growing my business internationally, but, you know, can we really afford to do it? Is it too risky? What would you say to those people?
So that's actually a really good point, because again, if you come back to the point that I was making earlier, in the sense that often we're taught to think a certain way, or we've been going down a certain path in terms of how we think. And if we just take a step back and actually ask, hang on a second, why are we thinking of the solution, of that being the solution, or having that idea in our head? And that's usually, I guess, where we come in, and part of the conversation that we normally have initially is to understand the facts of their situation before we kind of come up with a here's your solution. We need to know, I guess, have a better understanding of your current situation. So often when people talk to us, or even when we're just having general conversations with business owners, I find is that people often have a preconceived idea of what it takes to grow, whether it be by acquisition or whether it be to grow overseas. There's a company that I read just recently who wants to grow their agency over in the UK, and they've budgeted for $1 million, $1.5 million just to open up an office and hire staff and all the rest. So they've already gone down that track of here's my solution, here's my, you know, my antibiotic that I'm going to get, right? I know what the solution is. Whereas if you kind of take a step back, there are probably better ways, more, you know, that you haven't even thought about. And so to answer your question, if people are, you know, considering, can I expand overseas, or how can I have the funding or the, you know, the contacts or the knowledge? First, I would suggest just know what your situation is and start talking to people that may have done that before, or may be able to give you some sort of ideas or solutions to be able to, you know, I guess, talk it through to see if you can or you can't before you kind of go, well, I don't have the money, I don't have the ability, I don't have the contacts. Because again, if you peel enough layers back and find out what the root cause is or what your problem is, there's usually a way that you can find to solve that. And if you're wanting to grow by acquisition and you don't have the funding, don't let that be an issue for you, or the major issue for you in terms of progressing any further. Because yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can fund acquisitions with little or no capital of your own, you know, and it doesn't always have to be all debt. It doesn't always have to be all equity and giving up a big, you know, all, you know, 100% of your equity away or anything like that. There are a lot of different ways, and yeah, you just don't know.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that step one in all this is really mindset, and step two is about thinking creatively and outside the square.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you accept a certain way of thinking, then you're only ever going to get the same answer. And in terms of, and yeah, you're right. That's a mindset thing again as well. And so, yeah, I guess over the years, you get to see a lot of different situations that business owners are in, and you realize that, you know, it doesn't have to be a certain way just because you've had the, you know, a certain business in a certain industry and you haven't seen any similar results to what you want. That doesn't mean that it can't happen. I see that all the time. So yeah, it definitely is a mindset thing.
It's been great to have you on the show today. Thanks so much for coming along.
Pleasure. Thank you.
If you're enjoying the Business Beyond Borders podcast and you're thinking about expanding your company internationally, check out the Dearen & Associates website, dearenassociates.com. Our consulting services, which include market research and modeling, cross-cultural consulting, and strategic business connections, deliver deep insights and create value for larger companies looking to scale internationally. If you're from a smaller organization that wants to expand its global footprint, take a look at our International Business Accelerator program, which my team and I created to help micro to medium-sized businesses to speed up and de-risk the process of going global. The program helps business owners to build a great strategy without having to reinvent the wheel. It creates the momentum to put the strategy into play, and it helps them to generate or raise the funds that they need to get an international expansion off the ground. We built it especially for founders and CEOs who want to take their business to the next level and wondering where to start. It's structured in a way that's simple to follow. It's digital so that you can take part from anywhere in the world. It's a lot of fun and our members love it. Check it out at dearenassociates.com.